So welcome, everyone. We're celebrating the feast day of St. John Henry Newman, and I'm here with Barbara Wyman, Robert Kirkendall, and David Warren. I think some of you, most of you are familiar with them. I'm Father Juan Velez. We write blogs and record things about St. John Henry Newman, and we're happy to celebrate his feast day today. So happy feast day, guys, and
Happy feast day, Father Juan.
To those who are listening. Today is Sunday, so we didn't celebrate the liturgical memorial of Newman, but I think we all remembered and are excited about that. A moment ago, Barbara, who teaches at McNeese State University, was saying something about photographs and about Rome, because she was there at the canonization, and some of us were there. What were you saying, Barb?
Well, since I'm the one who does Facebook, mm-hmm. I wanted to go back through my photos to post one on Facebook to remind people of the feast day. And so, of course, I saw Robert and you and all of our good times. And Dave will get to go with this next time.
I hope so. we can maybe desire and wish that when Newman is declared a father of the church, or sooner. Yeah,
but it was not too long before the lockdown, so we really kind of squeaked in there.
Yeah, what other thoughts do you have, Barbara, or Robert, from or Dave, of those days of the leading to the canonization or the canonization itself?
Yeah, I recall just being so thrilled to one be able to take the opportunity to go there with y'all, having been a pretty recent convert just the last 2 or 3 years prior to the canonization, and Newman was so instrumental in that process. And he was just a blessed when I was first considering converting and trying out praying to the saints. So I remember that very vividly, asking for some intercessions and favors from him back in, I think it was 2015 or 2016. And so to be able to be there with him canonized was a really special moment for myself. I remember being in St. Peter's Square and meeting Ben Yaros, who's a kind of guy in the Newman circle, the small but mighty few. I think he's pursuing a PhD now in South Carolina. And just, we had a great time together at the canonization itself. And young, recent convert, first time in Rome that I was, I just tried to walk around the city as much as I could. And I got sort of lost. And I think I remember it vividly the last night there, finally finding my way and making it to a restaurant where the Wymans graciously welcomed me and gave me hospitality and gave me some food to nourish my strength again.
You really wanted to do a lot, and I can't blame you. You were trying to really pack in, and that's great, to see in the catacombs or trying to see as many churches as you could, and that's fantastic. We have to have you write a blog on or something about Newman's influence in your conversion so that others can benefit from it. Yeah. That would be wonderful. Did David Warren meet
Newman through you, Father Juan, or David, did you know him already?
I think before, but how did you become acquainted with Newman?
Did we freeze?
I'd say the most I'd heard about Newman was because of All the Sinners, and just hearing his name, and not detailed until I started working with Father Juan. So very surface level.
That's unusual. That's unusual because you're a convert also to Catholicism. Yep. So unlike Robert, you weren't reading his writings before you took that step.
No, yeah, I'd say my exposure to, I'd say that the sources I was reading actually started more with some things from the Catechism that other people had given me, and also St. Jose Maria Escriva. So those were really the things I had read most. So it was limited, definitely.
That's wonderful, though. That's wonderful. We all have different paths, and I've shared elsewhere that the similarities between St. John Henry Newman and St. Jose Maria Escrivá And there are a number of them, such as such as the universal call to holiness, and fostering that among the laity and priests. That's one of the things that they shared in common. Of course, Newman before Saint Jose Maria, but that's wonderful. And on this feast day, and we're not only this feast day, but as we think of this feast day, and we think of maybe some people who will listen to this recording, this get together, I thought we could see what thoughts of Newman or what in his teaching lately, or not only lately, has struck us and could probably help others. I don't know, Barb, if you want to go first or if someone else would like to go first.
Sure, I'll go first. Even though I've studied Newman a lot more in depth recently, I find myself still being drawn back to the quotes everybody knows about him. I guess they're the quotes that are so universally applicable, but about being created for some particular thing, that beautiful prayer that Newman, well, we call it a prayer now, about, I know that God created me to do something that no one else can do. Father Juan, you probably know that prayer by heart, but I find myself thinking about that. So even the more I know Newman, I still return to his basics that people know him for.
Sure, that's a really beautiful prayer. It's in the novena for Newman that we prepared. That's on the website, and it's really wonderful. And it's one of my favorites too. I thought you were going to say though, lead kindly light, which is really very similar. It's an invocation to the Holy Spirit, and one step is enough for me. It has to do with realizing that God has a plan for each one of us, a mission. And as I was hearing Barb, I was thinking that she is also a convert to Catholicism. Barb was Anglican, and
you're the only.
That's right.
Yes. I'm the only one who and Newman did Catholic. Play a part in that.
Yeah, that's right. You've shared that with me, and you've told me about that. And it'd be good also to. I think I know you wrote it down and you've written it down. I don't think we ever posted that. We wanted to.
Mine was too long.
Shorten a little bit and maybe see what things you'd like to share or not. But Barb has written about that, and it's pretty moving. What other? So that's a very important thought. I know. I think Robert likes that quote very much, or that thought. Well, all of us. What are other thoughts lately, the guys, that you have thought or had in your mind, or you think people need to know about Newman?
Let you talk about Robert.
Okay. Well, yeah, Barb, that prayer, the Newman's famous prayer, we have in some of my classes I've taught, have the students pray that with us. It's a very powerful prayer. And I've had the opportunity of teaching an elective course on Newman last year. And so I was able to go pretty deep into his life and writings with high schoolers, which was really great. And one thing that struck me recently as I've been thinking about him more and more, actually it was on the feast of Saint Therese, another saint I would say he's perhaps surprisingly very similar to. And I was thinking about Newman's humility. For some reason, he sprang to mind when I was reading about the stories, accounts of the North American martyrs, French Jesuit priests who went to what's now Canada and these just wintry, rural, brutal areas, really, and were trying to minister to the Hurons. And even as they needed, you know, new missionaries, St. Isaac Jogues, one of them, said famously that they don't need people who are smarter, they need people who are more humble. They needed more humility to really get this work down that was very, very difficult of trying to reach these, you know, native tribes with the gospel. And I thought of Newman, just the like missionary spirit he had. He can seem very formidable at first, you know, so many big books, so much philosophy, so many amazingly beautiful sermons and the huge volume of them, right? And so he can seem very formidable, but I really think it's all based in his deep, deep humility. There's maybe one of you can remind me where it's from, but I think early in his days as a tutor, he wrote something like, God, crush me to powder. if it is what's necessary to make me humble or something like that, right?
I don't recall that one, but Barb has written on Snapdragon, that poem that he wrote about the those flowers that grow on the walls of Oxford. And before that, he wanted to be a missionary. When he was younger, he wanted to be a missionary. He did fight to overcome pride and conceit mm-hmm. and the temptation to pride and all his life. And I think towards the end of his, well, in the 1860s, in the second part of his life, he made a very important step forward, which was overcoming that over concern for what his superiors thought and saying, well, I have to do what I do for God and only for God. And even if my superiors at one point are not pleased or do not understand me. So there I would say that we could see that his humility went even deeper, and it was it's a great lesson for all of us about humility and wanting to serve God above all, above everyone.
And but then the realization about how much he gave up to become Catholic, that his even one of his sisters wouldn't speak to him till the very end, and that's a humbling experience too, that someone that was his good and loving friend, because he became Catholic, then would no longer even talk to him. So
right, and that's what happens with humility. Often comes about through humiliations and trying accepting them the right way. And he suffered a lot and humiliations like that, and from his superiors. And so that he learned humility through humiliation. Those are wonderful insights, Robert, and his about his missionary spirit. I'd like to share one that Father Peter Connolly is dear to him. He couldn't join us. He's giving a lecture right now on Newman and celebrating Mass. But I'll say it briefly, and then maybe David can share something, one of the thoughts that is on his mind recently. Well, as you might know, Father Peter Connolly, who's in Birmingham, he's looking at St. John Henry Newman through the lens of his humanity. And Newman had written about the lights and shades of saints. And when writing about St. Philip Neri, he said that we need to not cut up saints and make paper cut up saints and paper like cutting paper and talking about their different aspects of the saint, although we do that, but always keeping in mind that a saint is a person. And so a saint can enjoy horseback riding and can enjoy novels, and sometimes is in a sour mood, and sometimes is in a hurry, and so that the saint is not a like a statue, but is very human. And I know Father Peter would say much better, and when he listens to this recording, he's going to wish he was here to talk about that. But I think you all grasp what I'm saying, and maybe want to complete that idea that comes through in Newman's letters mostly, and in his biography rather than his writings. But anyhow, I wanted to bring that up as we celebrate his feast day. So Dave, we gave you enough time. What do you think?
Yeah, right. I do think there's actually maybe a connection to a couple of things you guys said and what I was thinking about, which was most of my interaction with Newman has been through his homilies, through his sermons. And what I get from those actually is him being very human. And as erudite as he is, right? Robert was talking about his writings being formidable. And we've talked about, you know, could he be considered a doctor of the church? At the same time, when you're reading his sermons, and these are things he preached to the people, they are him just wrestling with the scripture. And despite the faith that he had, you know, he would read that scripture and he would say, well, what's Jesus talking about here? I thought that, for example, he said we would have unlimited forgiveness. So what's this talking about here, where there's no mercy for these people or whatnot? He would bring up a scripture and he would try to understand what the Lord was trying to tell him and tell them. And he didn't just take everything by faith. He really was wrestling with reason. And it made me think of another English writer, C.S. Lewis, who I read a lot in college. And he would often bring up something, that question that was he was wrestling with. And I felt when I read him at times that his answer wasn't always sufficient. Like he opened up a question and then I was like, well, now I'm really lost because you didn't really solve it for me. I don't feel that much better about how you resolve that question. And Newman is so thorough and so just he cares so much about what he's trying to understand and read. And I can't imagine being maybe a parishioner listening to that, listening to him wrestle really deeply with these themes. So I thought he's very human in that way.
Right. I would maybe say that reason illuminated by the light of faith. So it's he does go to reason and see, but that reason illuminated by faith. And one of the ways he does it is also looking at the Old Testament passages and how they are fulfilled in Christ and how they shed light on the New Testament. And then even though it's a little bit less in the homilies, but in his other books, he looks at the tradition and the teaching of the church and how that helps us to understand the Word of God and get closer to the Word of God. It is certainly to speak about St. John Henry Newman is to speak about the study and meditation of the Word of God. And not only that, but applying it, bringing it to our lives, our daily lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very practical.
Yeah. Well, this is we've talked on many different things and could talk about, so we've gone from one topic to another topic, but I think occasionally it's good. And today, as we remember Newman, this is wonderful. Maybe some for the last few minutes, 5 minutes, we could talk about some things about regarding devotion to Newman or Newman's intercession, and also how to, or things that we've heard of Newman reaching more people or helping students or helping the church, well, his teaching or God coming to us through Newman. Who would like to comment? Any thoughts?
About bringing Newman more to the general
To the general public and to students. And
with students, I try to incorporate a little bit about him at the beginning of every semester, since I teach humanities and most of the students are, I'm majoring in engineering, but we've got to take English. And I try to explain to them through Newman about why it's important for them. So he's really easy to introduce in an academic setting. And then that way people will hear his name or students will hear his name and then maybe be captured by his thought.
Sure, sure. Before we turn to Robert, because I think he's doing something unique, although I think what you're doing is very important, Barb. I think there's a big role here for the Newman Centers. I know you've supported the Newman Center at Magnese. But the role in the Newman Center, besides the setting where you are in the classroom, in the Newman Center, introducing the students to Newman, even more than in your class because it's limited, introducing them to Newman's homilies, to a biography of Newman, to the person of Newman. And there are so many Newman Centers throughout the country. So doing that would be a great service to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students, later adults in society, members of the church. Robert, you're doing something very special and unique with your high schoolers. Maybe you can tell us your thoughts.
Sure. I won't say anything directly about teaching high school, but I'll try to be brief by saying I really think Newman is an important patron for what's becoming called the new evangelization, right? Especially since the church has emphasized education is a really major part of the new evangelization. If you want to get acquainted with Newman's philosophy, obviously it's great to pick up books, but you can also become very acquainted with his philosophy just by watching YouTube videos of Bishop Robert Barron talking, because he'll often bring up Newman. he spoke at my alma mater recently, actually, Biola University, a Protestant university, and he had a dialogue Bishop Barron did, was really cool, that talked to Catholics and Protestants about evangelization. And of course, the first quote off Bishop Barron's lips was Newman. And I think Bishop Barron really does actually he's not only learned the content of Newman's thought, but really exemplifies Newman's spirit and character of reaching people, of evangelization, and really emphasizing education. So I'll stop there just to be brief, but I think that's one really important facet of Newman, that Newman has something really important for us who are interested in evangelization and trying to reach our really dark culture, specifically in terms of education and teaching. And Newman has really just gone the full gamut of, like, you know, high philosophical thinking. He's a really, really practical educator, very good communicator. So there's a lot to learn from him and ask him for favors for in evangelization and education.
That's terrific. What do you, Barb and Dave, think about what Robert is saying? I think it's wonderful, but what are your thoughts about what he just said?
I think it's David's turn.
Okay. Well, you know, I was thinking, it just made me think that, as my wife and I were talking the other day, that it's hard to engage people right now on any level. You can't say certain words, you can't talk about certain topics, because that could cause some problem. And it's in a way, it's a scary time, because that's how you get to know people, is to engage people on deep things right away. And it just made me think, yeah, someone like Newman with that kind of spirit, or Bishop Robert Barron, as you're talking about, is unafraid to kind of talk about these topics that matter, and to engage people in a dialogue. And I think that's really important. So that spirit, I think, that Newman exemplifies is something that we want to carry forward in our conversations with people, whether they're Christians or non-Christians.
Right. Wonderful. As you both point out, Bishop Robert Barron does it so well. He applies Newman's thinking to the current situation. There's a dialogue with the current situation. He's not afraid, like you're saying, and he engages. And that's I'd like to hear more. And I know he knows, he has programs on Newman and knows very much of Newman very well.
Well, let me mention too. I don't know if David and Robert are familiar with Bishop Athanasius Schneider from Kazakhstan, but he is in our diocese this weekend, and we went to his talk last night and mass with him, and he quoted Newman three times, and he, you know, being from, well, born in Germany and then in the communist regime and all the things he's been through, that Newman would be somebody he quoted, even though he's from that part of the world, shows the universality of Newman's his thought, I think.
That's fascinating. That really is. It'd be good to hear those quotes. And I suppose one of the things is the importance of the conscience well-formed and speaking the truth, no matter the cost. That's very, very interesting.
Right.
Well, I'm so happy that we celebrated Newman's canonization, his feast day, by getting together, by speaking. And we have to continue doing this. And I'm thinking of Mary Fotheringham, who couldn't join us today. And Mary has done a beautiful portrait of St. John Henry Newman. And there's other people like that are promoting the devotion to Newman, and that are doing all types of things through art, through conferences, through prayer novenas. And so I mentioned Mary, and maybe next time she can join us. Well, I wish you all a very happy feast day. It's been great seeing you. I can see you and hearing you.
Nice to see you too.
Yeah,
thank you.
And David and Robert.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Bye-bye, Robert. David.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Bye.
God bless you too.
Maybe we can, I should have said, St. John Henry Newman, pray for us.
Pray for us.
And then in that way. Very well. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right.